flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I was on the elevator today coming up, and a guy just says, how are you? Very nicely. How are you? And I then proceeded to rant about how much I hate January for like a good 30 seconds. I was like, this month sucks. It's cold, and it never ends.
He's like, that's not what I asked. I'm sorry I asked how you were doing.
I ended it by saying, that's how I'm doing. How are you doing? But January is finally over. Today is the last day of January, January 31st. The birthday of my brother-in-law, so happy birthday to my brother-in-law. Mm. Happy birthday to Craig Carton. So I decided not to call Craig. I just texted him.
Oh, you can't do that.
After shaming me for not calling him?
What you did
to
Tommy.
You didn't communicate at all, Tommy.
Yeah, you never even said anything about his birthday to him.
How do you know that?
Because you said yesterday that you weren't, so I'm just taking you at your word.
Yeah, I sent him a text.
That's because I shamed you. It did have me thinking, like, who are the people in one's life that needs a phone call versus a text?
Mm.
Like... co-worker, former co-worker, text. Like, I think that's easy.
Yeah. Definitely.
Friends, text, right?
Yeah.
Parents, you
call
gotta
your
go
mama.
Call?
Call your mom, dad, brother.
Grandparents.
Grandparents, if they can still take the calls.
Yes.
Wife.
Well, I mean, you live with them usually, so it's kind of you roll over and say happy birthday. That's the way
romantic.
Go.
Roll over.
That's not even good enough. Now you got to do like the Instagram story. Yeah. Like, here's a picture of us on the beach in July. Happy birthday.
I don't have to do that.
Here's us at our first Nets game.
Well, you've set the bar so low, Evan.
I haven't set the bar low. I write poems for them. Did I show that this week?
Yes.
My bar is very high.
Actually, you're right. Yeah.
I think kids, you have to.
Yeah, but you're not texting your kid happy birthday. I guess if you're older and your kid's like in their 20s
who do you
or
call?
Well, but you don't have to call them because they live in your house.
No, my kids are in college.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're older, then yes, you've got to call them. I'm still in the brain of, like, 8-year-old and 2-year-olds.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. My 8 and 10-year-olds live in my house, but my 14-year-olds don't live in my house.
So you got to call them.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I would argue calling is out. Like, if you're close enough to call them, you almost have to FaceTime them if you have an iPhone.
Oh, you got
to
go all the way with that?
Yeah. No, I usually do that.
Yeah.
For holidays and everything else.
Yeah.
It's all faced up.
But I think for the most part, for like 90% of the people in your life, I just think you've got to acknowledge the birthday with a happy birthday.
Right.
I don't think you have to go that much further than that.
Here's what you shouldn't do.
What?
When you, because you, say you forget and you see it on social media, what you can't do is just add happy birthday on the social media.
Yeah, that's lame. That's lazy.
You got to just open your text and text them.
I don't
directly.
Even think a social media happy birthday qualifies at all.
I agree.
Like, it's got to be, because that's
unless you just don't really care. You're like, oh, that's cool. That's some dude I met 10 years ago.
It's
birthday,
not only that you don't
kind of like, ah, happy birthday.
It's not that you don't care to me. It's that you're only doing it for people to see you doing it.
Yes.
So, like, Craig's a great example. Yeah. If I had tweeted at him happy birthday, then I'm not really wishing him a happy birthday.
No, you just...
I'm just getting the attention that I wished him a happy birthday.
Yes. But you when are doing that.
What was that?
You're talking about it on the radio show.
Well, that's different, though, because we're explaining the situation. Oh. But yes, I get what you're talking about.
We're talking life here.
Yeah, we're talking life. It's just an example of it. It's like my brother-in-law. Like, I said it's his birthday. Does that mean I was doing it for the attention? I'm just giving an example
of it. Yes, you wanted the credit.
Yeah. Actually,
and
no.
And then he'll request the clip.
That's true.
Sean will send it to him.
That's the thing. Like, some people think that being said or talked about on the radio is very cool. So saying happy birthday to my brother-in-law on the radio to him is like, ah, it's cool. Oh, I used to listen to FN when it was awesome, when Mike and the Mad Dog were on, you know?
What'd you send him?
What do you mean what I send him?
Your brother-in-law.
My wife sent him something. I don't know what the hell it was.
You didn't send him something?
No, she's in charge of that.
Yeah, but you don't even know what was sent?
I really don't know what was sent.
Oh, you're terrible.
You really are.
You have one sibling.
First of all, you guys double-teaming me right now?
Yes,
one at a time here.
Jeez. You have
I got to deal with both of them at the same time now?
I want to get this right. You have one sister, right?
Yes.
That means you have one brother-in-law in your whole life.
That is correct.
Today's his birthday. You couldn't even take the time to say, what are we sending my one brother-in-law who's basically my brother?
I think the way we work is that I sent something for my sister. I don't think my wife and I were breaking it down. It was, by the way, I should tell you what I sent my sister. You'll love it. Florida Panthers jersey that says mom on the back. Damn!
That's a cool gift.
That's a cool...
It says mom?
Yeah, because she's a mom. What should it say?
I don't know.
It says mom on the back, and it's a Panthers jersey. So I think it's more she takes care of that, I take care of this. Sometimes I think they just try to shame me for the sake of it.
Right.
Like, there's actually no real criticism.
No, because we both have brother-in-laws. I mean, I'm married through, you know, my sister-in-law.
You have never sent your in-laws anything.
Absolutely have.
Your wife takes care
of it. About to be an uncle here in a couple months, so I have to make another trek out there. No. I know what's going on. I may not pick it out, but I know what's going on.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
No,
calling
I think
me a liar?
You're full. Yes. Yeah. In this regard, you are. Tiki knows I'm right, Tiki?
Yeah, exactly.
If you think I'm a liar, you think I'm a liar. By the way, I do have one more question about your month list.
You pick it up at the airport. That's what you do.
Exactly. Just sign my name at the bottom, honey.
Right.
Your month list that you put out yesterday. So October's first for you.
Yes.
Which you said was weather, but I assume also baseball, the culmination of the baseball
season. Combination of everything.
Fair?
Football, baseball, the weather. I love October.
We all love football, including you.
Yeah.
And the culmination of the football season is January, yet it's last on your list.
Yeah.
Why?
Because his football team is never playing again.
So, but my question is that as you as a sports fan, do you enjoy the regular season more as a football fan and you don't like the playoffs? Mm. Is that fair to say?
I think when I made my list yesterday, there are a lot of factors. Sports is a factor. Weather, there's a lot of factors. Sports doesn't override everything, though. Like, for example, I love baseball, right? I've said baseball is my favorite sport. Yep. August is second to last, and July is fourth to last, and March and April are right slightly ahead of it. So based on my months list, you would think I hate baseball, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or it's just further down your sports list.
No, it has nothing to do with
you
sports.
You hate the dog days of baseball, basically.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with what I prefer in a month, like those weather.
Those are hateable days, though.
What, the dog days?
Of baseball.
See, I love the dog days of baseball. That's why you guys are wrong. You're looking too closely into it. It's not about the specifics of sports.
Yeah, Tiki, he loves him so much, somehow it only ends up being me and you doing the show, darn.
Yeah,
I'm a loser.
So I can go watch the games in person. That's exactly why. Let's go to Lawrence at OKC. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
I'm a diehard Giants fan, man, and I have to root for the Eagles in the Super Bowl because the officiating has been so one-sided all year for the Chiefs, and more so than ever against that Bills game. It's not even funny, though, because I know you're in that, you have NFL ties, Tiki. You can't be honest about the way it's really going down, I don't think. And I think how else can you describe this? Like, how many calls are they going to give this guy? I hope that Philly goes out there and just blows Patrick Mahomes up. Because in the Super Bowl, historically, against Tom Brady.
Who are you a fan of, Lawrence?
I'm a diehard Giants fan, man.
Are you repurposed out there? Like, how are you out in Oklahoma City?
So when COVID hit, I got transitioned my job out to Texas. And then when I was in Texas, I lived in Austin. And I was like, good luck buying a house in Austin. So,
that's right.
You know, that wasn't going to happen.
What calls are you so upset about that the Chiefs got?
Like, you want me to list them? Like, I can't list. Look at the last Bills game. Tell me that that was a fairly officiated game.
I think
game.
It was a fairly like, officiated was, game. I disagree with you. I think not, it was a fairly officiated
it
game.
Absolutely
I think,
was not.
I think, Lawrence, most of the calls could have went one way or the other. And, by the way, my wife and kids are out there for a cheer competition.
Oh, nice.
Please tell them hello if you see them.
Nice. And tell SGA he should demand a trade and come to Brooklyn.
By the way, there's a...
Say hi to the Barbers and do that for me.
Right.
Thank you.
They're staying right next to the... What's the arena for Oklahoma City?
I forget the name.
Whatever it is.
Some sponsor.
They're staying right across the
street.
Oh,
that's very cool.
And so I was like, you should go to them. That's the best team in basketball.
And the atmosphere in that building is probably the best atmosphere of any building in the NBA right now.
The Paycom Center. Thank you, Sean. The Paycom Center. Yeah, she's staying right across from the Paycom Center.
That's cool. Listen, to our last call to Lawrence.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're just going to disagree. And I think a part of why we're going to disagree is I think, and I could hear it in your voice, you got venom in your voice. Got venom in your voice. Mm. And you're watching things with certain kinds of glasses on. And those are the glasses of everything's rigged for the Chiefs. And a lot of people are wearing those glasses. Mm-hmm. If you take them off and you just try to watch it fairly, you will see that those calls that you're so aggrieved by are very close calls.
Yeah.
And then there may be a call or two that you didn't notice with those glasses on that actually benefited the Buffalo Bills. I think this is so overstated. Now, I don't think Lawrence is a baby, so I'm not going to do the wah-wah sounds. I think some Bill fans are. Some other football fans are. I think he genuinely believes what he's saying.
Because he doesn't have a dog in the fight.
But I think he's misguided. And I think people are following suit that somehow the officials are doing everything they can to help the Kansas City Chiefs. I just don't think that's the case. I really don't. You know, and you can go through dynasties and try to say, well, they only won because they got the calls. The Lakers had that in the early 2000s. The Jordan Bulls had that. The Patriots had that. Yeah. Sometimes they get the benefit of the close call, but I don't think it's this egregious thing that's being described in some circles.
The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. And one last thing, Evan. Josh Allen, the Bills, you want to complain about that first down still a week later? Leave no doubt. Don't leave it to a 50-50 chance.
Absolutely.
The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Brendan's in Clifton, New Jersey. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, guys. Hey. Just real quick, that guy Lawrence, he's not a Giants fan. So just projecting this thing, going back to the Mahomes-Brady conversation, just projecting this thing out, assuming Mahomes gets another two or three, whatever it is, which is a big assumption to make, but for argument's sake, the conversation at the end of the career is going to be razor thin. So to just dismiss those two playoff, an AFC championship game and a Super Bowl, those are significant when you're looking at just a comparison between the two of them. So I don't think you can just dismiss them like you were earlier in the conversation.
I'm not dismissing it. I just don't think it's the tiebreaker. In fact, I'm going to give you a Brady-Mahomes comparison that some people may not like. But if you really think about it and you're open-minded about it, you'll say, wow, that does make a lot of sense. The Brady-Mahomes debate is LeBron versus Michael, except Tom Brady's LeBron James. And Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan. Because what Tom Brady did that is so incredible is that he kept going.
Yeah, it lasted his career. And now everybody thinks that quarterbacks can play until they're 40.
Right. And we don't know that because we haven't seen other guys do it at that kind of level. But Tom Brady is LeBron James. I mean, think about LeBron. You guys may get a chance to see him live and in person tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. If not, we'll tell you about another cool thing you could do a little bit later on. Bottom line is LeBron's 40-plus years old, and he's still playing at an incredibly high level. And so he's piling up these just incredible stats. Yes, he's great, but also because of longevity.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what Tom Brady did.
And so it just adds to the impressiveness of his career.
Yes.
When it goes for so long. And more importantly, when he's that successful individually, but also from a team standpoint. But now the challenge for LeBron is that in these last couple of years, it hasn't been team success.
Hasn't been team success, but he continues to have individual success.
Right.
And so I think whenever the LeBron-Michael discussion would occur, I'd always say, hey, is there anything LeBron could do to pass Michael? And to some, they'd say, no, there's nothing he can do. And that's because Jordan's dominance in the middle of his career was so good that there's nothing LeBron could do to pass that. Well, I'd argue that's what Mahomes is doing. That Mahomes' dominance right now in terms of winning, in terms of raw statistics, is so good that even if Brady has a longer career, Mahomes was better in his ultimate prime.
Yeah, when you have two three-peats in the middle of your career, like Jordan, and the championships are never in doubt, like there's never, not even game sevens, you kind of are the GOAT.
Yeah.
Period.
By the way, I've just received word that Tiki Barber needs to rule on something.
Yes.
Because something happened on our very show over the last few minutes that is very offensive to some in our audience.
All right.
Lawrence in Oklahoma called up this show, and he said, sounded like a great guy, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. A good guy.
Yeah.
Mentioned he's a Giant fan, mentioned he's rooting for the Eagles. The next caller then said, by the way, that last caller, not a real Giants fan. Mm. I'm getting a lot of Giant fans texting me right now saying, Tiki needs to rule on this.
Yes.
Can you be a real Giant fan if you're rooting for the Eagles in the Super Bowl?
Is he rooting for the Eagles in the Super
Bowl? That's what Lauren said. And that is ticking off a lot of Giant fans.
I actually don't think he said he was rooting for the Eagles. I think he said he was rooting against the Kansas City
Chiefs. I mean,
Chiefs.
It's kind of the same
thing. Not. It's very different.
Is it?
It absolutely is. It's like you're blind to the opponent. You don't even care who the opponent is. You just don't want the Kansas City Chiefs to win a Super Bowl.
Sean, can you do me a favor?
That's what it sounded like.
Can you go back on the phone call? Yeah. It's the beginning of Lawrence's phone call. I think he said, I'm rooting for the Eagles.
I got to go find out because I would have killed him for it. I didn't hear that.
Yes, I think I heard him say, I can't root for the Chiefs.
Yeah. Well, I won't say this. You can root for the Chiefs when they're playing Satan, which is the Eagles. But nonetheless, I would look.
But so you're saying it's the wording of it.
It's the wording
as
of it.
As long as he
this
says.
This is semantics.
Okay. I'm asking you. You're the Giant legend.
It's semantics.
Usually people get very offended when people try to dictate other people's fandoms. Mm-hmm. I would never do that, but maybe you can. Right. You're a Giant legend. You have every right to.
I felt like his job was like secretive or something, the way that he started to explain how he ended up in OKC. Well, I got a new job.
I had a lot of thoughts in my head on where that was going.
I know. It's like, are you a CIA? No, he'd be international. Are you FBI?
I mentioned, if you guys missed it, I'm pretty sure everybody missed it. So I gave you a little synopsis that last night on a nationally televised NBA game, a fast break was blown dead because an official thought that Taylor Jenkins of the Grizzlies was calling a timeout. It was a freaking catastrophe. And luckily, it did not impact the end of the game. Rich in Warren, New Jersey, can explain why the hell that happened. Why did that happen? Because that's a major mess up, Rich.
Oh, it happens all the time. There's a play, all these coaches, that, you know, when I coached, I always used college names for my plays, but there's a play at the end of the game a lot of coaches use. It's called five out, and it's basically spread the floor, move the ball, cut through, and just kill some clock. And every time they call that play, it could be rec, high school. I'm actually reffing now. I'm going to a game right now.
Nice.
Guarantee it, each coach, one of the coaches will have this play. And when the coach is screaming, five out, five out, five out, you immediately go,
wow.
Shoot, time out, and you blow it dead.
All right, that's a fair explanation. That does sound like time out.
That makes a ton of sense.
I have an answer for this, and I think they should do this in the NFL. I've thought about this for a while. So it works in the NBA and the incident from last night, but it also works in the NFL. As you guys remember, one of the mini controversies, Sean tried to make a big deal out of it, was Sean McDermott challenging after a play happened. Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
Why don't coaches have buzzers? And as soon as they buzz the timeout or the challenge, it vibrates on the official.
And he stops.
You don't remember that was the original thing before red flags was the buzzer.
So why is that not a thing anymore?
Because the technology was so bad.
It's 2025.
Well, now they could probably do it, but...
Yeah, but if you remember, there was a time before red flags, that was the technology.
But why? Well, 'cause especially in the NBA's case where... It's so loud and you're screaming. How do you get an official's attention, especially when you're watching the game? Because you can call a timeout in the middle of the action, which is what they thought Jenkins did. If you just buzz it, then all of a sudden, like Dick Bavetta, I know he's not doing it anymore, gets like a buzz in his pants, he'll know. Right. Oh, got to call timeout. Must be a timeout.
Yeah, they should go back to that. I actually forgot, Sean, that was what they used to do.
Because you would lose the signal sometimes in the stadium, and there was controversy, and then the red flag became the backup, and then became the red flag, became the full
flag. By the way, we're making lists of ideas for Silver. Did they ever get back to you, Tommy?
Still waiting.
What'd they say?
They didn't get back to me.
Oh. So what do you do? Leave a message, or did you call? We're trying to get Adam Silver on.
I emailed because I don't have their number. So how I've communicated with them through email. So
it's like an email thing?
I'll follow up.
Okay. Did you put in the subject line sex? Gets their attention. I've talked about this before. You have to like draw in their attention.
Yeah.
Remember I told you you should start your the bridge show
Boogie!
That way? Sex!
Sean's moves!
Just kidding.
Are the Knicks going to win a title?
What are you talking about?
Exactly. Like that. What was your subject line? That's the key.
I didn't write sex.
No,
I wrote
obviously.
Adam Silver WFAN interview with Tiki Barber. I never write your name.
No, you're very smart.
I always
smart.
Know I produce Tiki Barber Show, WFAN,
no, that's
New York.
Smart. They don't
future
know who
Hall of
I am.
Famer, Giants all-time leading rusher.
No,
and then
absolutely.
I write in the, and then I go, and his partner Evan is in the sub.
You don't even
have
to
get to the email.
You don't have to mention my name, seriously.
Well, just so they're not thrown off when there's this other fella in the interview. But I always write Tiki's name.
Can you also stop? Because within 2 seconds of saying that, my Twitter timeline went from Art Stapleton takes to Jugs. Okay, real quick. The way
you're
the,
what?
The way the internet and the phones listen to everything you say just changes.
They're watching us.
The algorithm just got all screwed up.
Hold on a second. Because I said sex on the radio as a joke, obviously.
Yeah, within two,
that affected your Twitter on your computer?
2 seconds to refresh my Twitter, and there it was, a pair of cans.
Wow. And it wasn't your own?
No.
Okay. Now let's get down to business. Earlier in this very segment, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app, but we're going to do it for you. We received a call from Lawrence in OKC. Lawrence, good fan. He was complaining about the officials, but I heard him say, I am a Giants fan rooting for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Tiki thought he said, I'm a Giant fan who can't root for the Chiefs.
Yes.
And in Tiki's opinion, there's a big difference between rooting for the Eagles and not rooting for the Chiefs.
Right. And what I have to rule on is that the subsequent caller said, that guy's not a Giants fan.
Right.
Because he's rooting for the Eagles.
So this little segment called The Odyssey Rewind is brought to you by the Odyssey app. You should download it and listen to WFAN whenever the heck you want. And then you can
free.
Rewind on your own.
And it's free.
And it's free. So courtesy of our brand new segment called The Odyssey Rewind, can we hear what Lawrence and OKC truly said?
I'm a diehard Giants fan, man, and I have to root for the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Bang! He said, and I quote, I'm a diehard Giants fan, and I have to root for the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
No.
Tiki, is he a Giants fan anymore?
He's temporarily suspended.
Wow.
You also can't say diehard.
Yeah, temporarily suspended. Sorry, Lawrence.
Boy, you guys are rough.
No, matter of fact, don't go say hi to my wife and kids. Don't tell them hello if you see them.
What a jerk. Wow, you're a jerk now.
I'm joking.
I feel bad for Lawrence. This poor guy's sitting there on his Odyssey app. And he's like, I'm just getting hammered now by Tiki Barber.
You know what the problem is, too? He moved out there. He's so detached from the New York Philly thing that I think it softened him on the hatred for the Eagles.
That's interesting. But you're saying he's not a Giant fan anymore.
You cannot. Now, listen.
He can be a Giant fan.
But
he's just temporarily suspended.
I would also say this. In September, his allegiance might be on Sundays. I can't tell the guy not to root for the Giants anymore.
I'm just answering the question. Is he a real Giants fan?
He's not a real, truthful, diehard Giants fan.
So, Botiki and Sean, not a real Giants fan. Let's see if this is a clean sweep. Fake Sean.
Oh, fake Sean.
Yes. Fake Sean. How do you rule on Lawrence and OKC?
I got a message for Larry over there in OKC. Not only are you no longer a Giants fan, you're not even a real sports fan because you're rooting for Satan's if you're rooting for the Eagles.
That being said... You want to make it a clean sweep, Tommy?
No. I would say this.
Oh, God. Don't do that.
I'm not going to... Just hear me out for a second here, and Sean can fight me on this. We have a mutual friend that is a Giant fan, and this friend has often said, Sean makes me want to root against the Giants.
Wow. Mm.
Sean is the type of fan that makes you sometimes want to root for
his...
And
he's a Giants fan?
Yes.
Wow.
It's because we're friends with Sean and we want to just shut his big mouth up sometimes because he often defends. He has him winning 11 games every year. He'll move the goalposts. So perhaps Lawrence, a loyal listener, Sean has driven him to root for the Eagles. So in reality, Sean is to blame for turning Giant fans towards the Kelly Green. Just another side of the coin in experiences that I've had.
If you go back to the Odyssey Rewind and podcast feature throughout the year, anybody want to remind the audience who picked the Giants for the lowest amount of wins on the show?
Me. Can I do that?
Evan, what's that?
Who's that? That would be Sean Morash.
And who had them winning double-digit games?
Tommy Lugauer. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
How many wins did you have him for, Sean?
Well, that's only seven. Because he didn't get his quarterback of his choice.
Right.
Yeah, we all were very wrong, by the way. Mm-hmm. Sean was the lowest at like 7.
Right.
I was at 8. Tiki was at 9. And Tommy was at like 12. So it was bad all the way around. But speaking of the New York Giants, your quarterback is announcing it to the world. He's telling you what's going to happen. We'll take a listen to more evidence that we know who the next quarterback of the New York Giants is, plus more of your calls. A lot of discussion around the great Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. A lot of discussion around the Boomer clock. There's a clock around Boomer Esiason's neck right now. Will Pete Alonso re-sign with the New York Mets like he guaranteed all of us? Or will he wear a giant L around his neck at 5 o'clock? We'll get all those answers today. We'll get into the Jets coaching hires because Aaron Glenn is filling out his staff. We have a defensive coordinator. And we have an offensive coordinator. We'll get into that. Plus, we'll continue to check in on the Boomer clock. If you're just tuning in, we have this big stand-up of Boomer Esiason set up right behind us with a clock around his neck since he tweeted last night and then doubled down on the air this morning that Pete Alonso is going to sign with the Mets today.
Boomer Esiason!
So, clock is ticking. Will it happen today? If it doesn't happen today, we've got a beautiful L we'll put around on his neck instead. Now, Giant fans, you're going to love this. Shedeur Sanders is at, which one is he at? The Shrine Bowl?
Shrine Bowl, which played last night.
Okay. So Shedeur Sanders is at the Shrine Bowl. He's being interviewed. And he's asked, I included the question just so you can hear the whole context here and you could use your own noodle on what you think is going on. He's asked about being here. The game was actually at the Dallas Cowboys home stadium, right? He's there on the sidelines. And so the reporter asks the question, even knowing Ed Dion didn't actually play here, but what are your thoughts on being here? And listen to the question and listen to Shador's answer, and you'll smell what I'm cooking.
What's it like being in AT&T Stadium when you think about, obviously this isn't where your dad played, but just the Cowboys in general? Uncle Irv, I know you're tight with him.
Yeah. Now, being in this stadium is definitely fun. I know I'll play here very soon against the Cowboys. it's definitely a dream come true, being able to be at this bowl game, watching my brothers out there, watching my teammates
out
there,
being
a part of this whole thing.
I'm going to be here very soon playing against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but
now, I looked at the schedule. The Titans are not playing in Dallas against the Cowboys.
But do you think he knows that?
Yes. Yeah. Well, then else, why would he say it? He's going to be a Giant.
Well, soon.
Like I've been telling you for a month.
Okay, but soon could also mean like in 2 years, whenever the schedule comes around.
You think that's what it was?
I mean, I just don't think I think he knows he's going to be in the NFL.
I think he knows he's going to be on the Giants. Like
Raiders play the Cowboys, too, by the way.
Say it one more time.
The Raiders play the Cowboys this year,
too. Yeah, but I don't think I think he doesn't know to answer your question.
That was the other one.
That was the other team he's been linked to.
That's actually the one that was more linked before the Giants became the issue.
I get all that, but you asked, do I think he knows the Browns and Titans schedule? The truth answer is no.
No.
Do you think he knows the Raiders schedule? I mean, the answer is no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Think he knows the Raiders schedule next year?
I would think so, actually.
No. Why would he know that?
Because his dad knows the Raiders schedule.
Yeah, but he knows that the Giants are in the NFC East and they play the Cowboys. That's a Giant answer.
I mean,
you guys may not want to admit it for a variety of reasons. I think you each have your own reasons why you don't want to admit it. That's why I'm an IFO. I just tell you how it is. He clearly is going to force his way to the Giants. It's been obvious from day one. It continued with that answer last night.
He's a 20-year-old kid. He doesn't know what he's saying.
He knows what he's saying.
No, he doesn't. He's just kind of talking. I'm going to be in the NFL, and eventually I'm going to play against the Dallas Cowboys. So very soon.
You think that was a generic statement?
Yes, I do. I honestly do. Like, if there was no indication, there was no, I'm going to be in blue playing down here.
Well, you can't make it that obvious.
Why not?
Because I think what's going on here.
Because you're taking it as obvious. So,
well, I think it's.
So why not just make it obvious?
Because I think sometimes in life you say things with a wink, right? And everybody kind of gets it.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to predict what's happening right now, that I think is very different than the Eli Manning thing from 21 years ago and very different from the John Elway thing 21 years before that, is I don't know if this is going to be very ugly publicly. Like, I think Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders are going to work this very quietly.
Why would it be ugly?
So what was ugly with John and Eli?
No. What would be ugly about this scenario?
Publicly.
Forcing himself out of wherever.
Yeah, that's ugly. Like, publicly forcing your way from a team is an ugly situation. The Eli Manning thing was not pretty. Now, he ends up getting what he wants, and it turns out not to matter, but it was not pretty. We got to draft day, and it was still uncertainty. So I think a lot of this is going on behind the scenes. Like, I think it's, hey, we're not going to make a big deal of this, but we're not playing for you in Cleveland. And Cleveland's like, all right, you know, let's privately act like everything's okay and work things out so it isn't this public embarrassment. And so I think he's going to be a Giant. I think everyone's going to kind of know it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just going to work out. And I think a comment like that is just him winking at you. He's winking at you, Tiki, as a Giant legend. He's winking at Sean as a Giant fanboy.
Why was there no follow-up? Was there a follow-up?
Not to that, no.
No.
Why?
Because the reporter probably didn't pick up on it.
Oh, come on.
I also think the sideline, I got to defend her a little bit. The sideline reporter is not Chuck Todd on Meet the Press.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not us doing an interview on sports talk radio. She's just like, oh, okay.
Doesn't this, though, feel a little, Evan, like kind of the theme with the Chiefs and the referee calls? When you want to look for something, you could find something.
Yes.
It feels like everybody's looking for Shador Sanders to the Giants takes that I'm kind of with Tiki. I do think there's a lot of flirtation both ways. Clearly, we started the show with it yesterday.
Right.
This felt to me, the Cowboys are in the NFL. I know I'm not going to be a Cowboy because they have Dak signed long term. I'm going to be playing for
them. I think that may be the case with a lot of people. I will totally hand that to you. Sometimes you look for something. And you don't have to believe me. No one has to believe me. I'm just going to hold my hand up and say I'm being honest with you. I'm literally looking at this whole situation like an IFO. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I like Shador Sanders as a quarterback. Like, I'm going back and forth on it. I got to watch more film, more YouTube videos.
Right.
I'll form a better opinion. Like, I don't know yet. So I'm not even saying it because I really want it. I'm not saying it because I really hate it and I think your guys are going to suck. I'm saying it because I'm reading the tea leaves as an IFO, and it feels like this is a dance, and it feels obvious. And a comment like that, while sure, you could explain it away with, well, he looked at the Raiders schedule, or he doesn't really know, I think was a wink-wink. And you could even hear it in the inflection in his voice. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants. And I think they're going to try to do this in a way in which he doesn't get a bad reputation. Because you know what sucked for John Elway and Eli Manning?
What's that?
They came into the league not just with the hype of where they were drafted, but the hype of who the hell does he think he is? He forced his way off a team.
Well,
and I don't think that's a situation you want to enter the NFL with. And Shador already has something hanging
really
over
that,
his head.
Was it really that for Eli? I don't think I got that. Maybe because I was too close to it and I was actually in the league on the team.
But, and we're in New York, but so we were happy.
I didn't get that from the rest of the league. I thought it was more, what a power move that Archie Manning pulled for his son to get him someplace that was, I don't know, commercially more viable than San Diego.
Right.
That's how I took it, that the league saw this.
No, I think he was a villain the first year.
Really?
Yes, in my opinion. I think New York is different. I think you clearly, because you were on the team, I think even us around
Did
here were like...
Did you view him as a villain?
I didn't, but
I was a
Giant fan. But I remember that first game when the Giants went back to San Diego.
Okay, but of course San Diego is going to view him as the villain.
But the
not realizing that they got a pretty damn good quarterback themselves.
But that game became a national TV game where the swarm around it was all the hatred for Eli nationally.
A lot of hatred for Eli nationally, but what happened was it went away. And we can get into how it went away and what made it go away, but it did go away 100%.
Right.
It went away for John Elway. To this day, there are people who are like, John Elway forced his way from where? People don't even know it.
Right.
He was going to be a Baltimore Colt for anyone who's like, what happened? He didn't want to go there. And by the way, he was right because they ended up moving a couple of years later. So he was right about that. And wasn't he threatening, I'm going to sign with the Yankees because he was drafted by the Yankees?
Yeah.
There was all sorts of things going on around that. And it made John Elway look bad. And look, John Elway overcame it. Eli Manning overcame it. It sucks if you're Shador Sanders, who already is going to have...
Stigma?
No, I'm sorry. Like, people are out to get you, which is unfair.
Vitriol?
No.
Tiki's laughing because I keep guessing.
I have no idea what you're trying
to do. Whatever. Right. He's going to have kind of the people are going to look to tear him down.
You're saying almost like a target on his back.
A target on his back. That's what I was looking for. And by the way, it's not fair.
Like, he's literally, I don't know why you said over your head.
I know. That's what threw me off.
All I know is Loogie.
What are you talking about?
Loogie figured it out and you two didn't.
Well, because you were talking about over your head.
That's more years of speaking Evan than
I was. Is he talking about Occam's razor? But that's not the right context.
But doesn't it make sense he's going to have a target on his back?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And a lot of that is just being Deion's son.
Definitely.
And that's not fair.
I think it's more that. I think it's more the hype that's been around him. Even when he was at Jackson State, there was a ton of hype around him. And nobody was watching those football games, by the way, even though ESPN2 or one of them put him on pretty regularly. But nobody knew what was going on. You just heard all the hype because he was Deion's kid.
Take that an ad, he forced his way to New York, he's going to have an enormous target on his back. If, so if, he's going to try to keep this under wraps.
I don't blame him. If he forces his way to New York.
When, Tiki? When? If. When?
Now, you, when? Guys, you realize, though, that in order for... And it, this is a two-way street.
Yeah.
Like, the Giants have to want him to be here.
No, you're right. That's a delicate situation.
And, well, it's
and
not,
as Sean pointed out yesterday, they're making out live just, on in front
just
of everybody.
I don't know if we know.
The only thing we know is that Daboll seems to really like him when they're hanging out.
Well,
right?
Put it this way. We may not know any of this. In this day and age with reporting and leaks, come time, if Shedeur Sanders is a Giant on draft night, we will know whether he forced his way there.
Right.
Oh, that, no that way will come out.
It will come out. There's no way he becomes a Giant without us ever knowing.
It may come out, but I think it's different if it comes out as like an exclusive in the New York Post versus a public dance that occurred like it occurred with Eli Manning like, on draft day.
Yeah, like draft night, he has to put on the Browns hat and wait for the trade.
So that's, I think that's different. Mm. And by the way, I commend Shedeur and Dion. If they're going to try to force their way to a certain place, they're better off not doing it publicly.
I'll say this about the whole situation. If what you're saying is true, if last night was another sign, and yes, he wore the cleats and everything. As a Giants fan, I love that Shedeur wants to be here, if that is what's going on, because that means he's accepting of everything. And I'll also say this, all the nonsense about being Deion's kid or everything, the more he keeps talking, the more he doesn't sound like some immature kid that doesn't belong. He actually has like some charm to him where he speaks like a professional, and I like that.
But when did he wear the cleats? The timing of it. Who had the number one overall pick at the time? When was he liking social media stuff with the Raiders? He wants to go number one overall.
Yeah, I think that's
And his
right.
father wants him to go number one overall. They don't want him to go to Tennessee, probably. So if it's Vegas, if it's New York, great. He wants to be the number one overall pick. And the Giants are a great market, so if it could be the Giants, great. Because about a year ago, wasn't Deion on a podcast and he was listing teams that he would want him to go to? The Giants weren't even on the list.
Yeah.
No, it's because they could be the number one overall pick and it's New York. And by the way, if he's great, come here, who cares? But I think he wants to go overall number one. I think that's important.
Tommy, I think you nailed it. That's he wants to be the number one overall pick because it we talk about the growth of the I was gonna say Deion brand, but it's not him. The Sanders brand. It just it's exponential if you're the number one overall pick in the and you're a quarterback. And it doesn't necessarily matter what team you went to, but if it was the Giants picking number one, that's times 100. And so I think he wants to be number one overall. You nailed it, Tom.
Do you want to hear breaking news?
Go ahead.
Break the glass. We have a caller who's going to claim breaking news, and that's always fun around here. Paul in Staten Island. Paul, you've got some exclusive breaking news?
Right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What do you got? Tell me.
So, Bill Belichick didn't want the Raiders job, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
And Pete Carroll was hired, which is kind of, I think no one saw that coming either, right?
Right. What do you got? What do you got?
Tom Brady, at some point, is going to be the quarterback of the Raiders.
You already know.
And you already know this? Like someone told you, or are you just making a prediction? Because that's a big difference. Big difference.
I have my sources.
He has his sources! Now, we have to be respectful. Know. Can't ask him his sources. Just like no one asked Boomer his sources when he went out and said, Pete Alonso's going to be a Met today before the close of business.
Yeah, he's got an hour and 10 minutes.
He's got an hour and 10 minutes before our business close, and we put an L around his neck. Right. So I'm not going to ask Paul his sources. But how crazy would that? I mean, let me give some advice to Tom Brady. Don't do it. Because if you've listened to our show today, you've got your sycophants who have called in and said, well, Mahomes could never be Brady because Mahomes has never beaten Brady. If you come back to the AFC West for the Raiders.
That's why that's not happening.
Yeah, Pat Mahomes has beat that ass over and over again.
Right. I mean, that would be. I mean, he's 48.
Is he? Is he that old now?
Isn't he 40? You know, he won the Super Bowl at 45.
Oh, I got to look this up.
He played one more year.
He was born in 1977. He's 47 years old, and he turns 48 in August, so you're right.
Yeah.
If he played next year, he'd be 40.
That's insane. Yeah, I knew he was 2 years behind me. So age-wise, or two, a little less than...
So you don't believe Paul's sources?
No. Has there ever been a guy that's played football, non-kicker, that's played football at 48 years old?
To get to 48? No.
Yeah, I mean, I know he takes great care of himself, and he's got the TB12 method, and he's still physically fit and all that stuff, but When's the last time he threw a football with any kind of serious?
He threw a football the other day to Rob Gronkowski.
With any kind of serious.
Oh, yeah. No, he hasn't.
Exactly.
So we are choosing not to believe that Evan and Tiki breaking
until news. Until I see that, I do not believe that.
That's right. Okay. So, Paul, thanks for the call. We don't believe you. Coming up, more of your phone calls at 888-808-1019.